Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Aleph. And we're learning today's shir Le'ili Nishmas Maris Leibowitz, Moshe Ben Tzvi. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. We start today's shir about six lines down from the top, asking another Shaila related to what we had previously, but a whole separate Sugya. Yibaylu, they ask in the base measures the following Shaila. Ma'av shiyas sakin aruka v'yishot. What is the halacha if a person takes a long life and he stands outside the Azara and he shechs within the Azara? Is that a kosher shechita or not? That's not the question. That we'll see. Rashi says we've answered that already before. But as Rashi points out, we're only asking here, liftar atzmum in hatfila. Does he or does he not have to do a tefillah when he hasn't gone into the Azara but he's doing an avoda like the shechita? Yamod chutz la'azara, he's standing outside the Azara. Now, he's not really putting his hand inside. If he were to put his hand inside, at the end of yesterday's shir, we said that bias b'miktsas is considered a bia, and therefore, that's not what we're asking either. And therefore, he didn't really put his hand inside, but he took a very long knife, and he shechted while he was totally outside. So, that is the question that the Gemara is going to be asking, does he need to go to the mikvah or not? Well, in hakshera, the carbon, but is this a kasher or shechting of the carbon? Lo kobi boile. That we're not asking right now because the apogad the alma bibichotu shochad, even though he's standing outside, he did the shlita. The Gemara in Zvachim says that that's perfectly fine. Ksheva, the tani bezvachim, ben abakor lefnei Hashem, lo shochet lefnei Hashem. The animal has to be in the Azara, but the shochet could actually be outside the Azara and shech with a long knife. So here, the only question that we're asking in the base medrash, this sakin arucha that you're shechting with, do you need to go to be tovel before or not? And as I pointed out, Tiboyle Ben Zoma, this is going to be a kasha according to Ben Zoma, who said previously that there was an obligation to go min ha-Torah to be tovel before you go in the Azara. And Tiboyle the Rabbanim, the Pliga the Rabbi Yehuda, and this is also a question even to the more lenient opinion that we brought down in yesterday's shir, as Rashi reminds us, V'yamru ko adam lo bo tefillah. They hold that not every person has to go in, it's only the Mitzora, who's ragil betumah, so therefore he has to go to the mikvah. But everybody else would not have to go to the mikvah. So this Shaila here is asked both according to the opinion of Ben Zoma and the Chachamim, the Bali Plukta of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, why is that? Tibayalu Ben Zoma, this question is asked on Ben Zoma, says, Midar right, so before you go into the Azari, you have to go to the mikvah. So Atkan lo mechai Ben Zoma, el legavai. Ben Zoma said that only if you're going inside the Azara. But here, maybe, Avo Libroi, he's standing outside the Azara. Look, maybe there is no obligation to go and be Tova. Odilmo, or maybe not. Also, Lim Shuche, we have to be concerned that if he starts doing the Shlita outside, the animal moves. Maybe he'll move with it, and all of a sudden he's inside the Azara, and he didn't go to the mikvah. So therefore, maybe we should say that he has to go to the mikvah anyway, even if you're doing the Shlita outside the Azara, because it may come to pull you in the Azara. So that's the question, whether you hold like Ben Zoma, even if you say that normally it's only for going in the Azara, do we or do we not make a gzera that you may come to be pulled into the Azara, so you better go be Tovel? Because certainly if you didn't go into the Azara, you wouldn't have to be Tovel according to Ben Zoma. But we can ask this question even to the Rabbanan. Tibayel the Rabbanan, the Pligalei Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim from yesterday shared an argument with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that the opinion is a Metzora and a Kol Adam, they all have to go to be Tovel at least one time. Then Rabbi Yehuda said that the Mitzvah was Tovel on the seventh day. He doesn't have to be Tovel again on the eighth day, but he agrees that he has to be Tovel mid the Rabbanim because of the Srach Tvila that we discussed. And that would be true for a regular person or a Mitzvah. And the Chachamim that argue with Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it's only true for a Mitzvah because he's Rogel B'tumah, but not for a regular person. So Tiboyel the Rabbanim, the Pligel of the Yehuda, this question that they ask in the base Medrash is asked even according to that opinion. Now, why? Ad kan lo kamre Rabbanan hasan. When the Chachamim argued Rabbi Yehuda said yesterday that you do not require a tefillah, that's the loka of an avoda because you didn't do an avoda. So just for going into the Azari, you don't need to do a tefillah. And if you don't do an avoda, you don't have to do a tefillah for that. But here, even though you're not going in the Azara, the Ka'avid Avoda, the Shlita is being done. So maybe they would say here, you do have to go for the mikvah. Lo. Or maybe not. Odilma, lo shto. It doesn't make any difference. And the Gemara doesn't resolve either of these questions on Ben Zoma or on the Chacham Rabbi Yehuda and take it. They leave it with a shine. Now we quote the Mishnah where it said, Chamesh Tvilos, Yasar Kiddushin Tovel, that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to have five immersions in the mikvah, and he does 10 times Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim. So Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, listen to the following Braisa. The Braisa tells us, Chamesh Tvilos, there are five times that the Kohen Gadol goes to the Mikvah Yom Kippur, and the Asara Kiddushin, and the 10 times that he has to be Mekadosh Adayim Raglayim. So Tova Kohen Gadol that has to go and immerse himself in Mekadosh Bo Bayom, or do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim on Yom Kippur. And all of them, the Chula Makodesh Beveis HaParva, all of these times that he goes into the Mikvah, it's going to be in the Mikvah that is in the Beis HaParva, with the one exception of the first time, which we already pointed out, he's before he going into the Azara, so he goes to the Mikvah. So that one is Chutz Li Azara, Chutz Mi Rishona, Shaisu B'chol. The first one was in the Chol, which we pointed out previously, was Al Gabe Shar Hamayim, which is on top of the gate known as the Shar Hamayim, which we had discussed previously in the Masechta as well. And then he adds, Ubitzad Lishkos Hoysa, just as a reminder, the Braisa tells us that this Mikvah that he went to was right near the place where he stayed for 7 days when he was Mufrash. Before he went in to Yom Kippur, he was separated, as we said, for 7 days from his family, from his house. And this was the Lishka that he stayed in, and right next to it was the Shar Hamayim. Now, what do we learn from this Braisa? So Amar Abaye, Abaye tells the Shemam, you know, we've learned from this Braisa that Ein Eitom. Now, Ein Eitom was the spring that filled up the water in this mikvah. And it must be that this mikvah, because water flows down by gravity, doesn't flow up, so this mikvah had to be lower than Ein Eitam. And if this mikvah was on top of the Shar HaMayim, and the gates in general were 20 amah tall, and as we'll see, the mikvah itself has to be 3 amah tall, so then it must be that Ein Eitam is Gavoa Mikarka. Ein Eitam, the spring, is higher than the surface level, the karka of the Azara, Esrim v'shalosh amos. It must be a little bit more than 23 amos above ground level. Now, why is that? The Gemara explains what I just said outside. Because kol apsoch l'shayusham govan esrim amos v'rochben esrim amos. All the gateways in the Beis Hamikdash, the standard gateway, with one exception as we'll see, was 20 amos tall and they were 10 amos wide. That was the general rule for the Sharim. Remember, we had earlier that the Shar HaMizrach had to be a lower Shar according to some opinions. And also, this Braisa tells us, Chutz Mishal Ulam. The Ulam also was not 20 by 10. The Ulam was higher. The Ulam was 20 by 40. So it was 20 Amma wide. And there, it was 40 Amma tall. So the Ulam was an exception as well. The Tanya, we learn further in another Braisa, the Pasuk tells us, V'rochatz, Bamayim es kol b'saro v'tomeyado erev. So we darshan out v'rochatz and b'saro. So how do we darshan that? When it says bamayim, that means b'mei mikvah. It has to be a mikvah that he goes in his tovelin. When it says kol b'saro, it means mayim shekol gufa olabahen. It means enough water that you can immerse your entire body into it at once. You can't put your arm in, then put your other arm in, then put your leg in. He has to be able to put the entire body in all at once. And we've already learned previously, remember we had a whole discussion about this in Shkolim, here we just give the punchline, we just give the bottom line. So Mayim Shekol Gufa Olaban, the Kamahain, how much is that? Amah Alama Berum Shalosh Amos. A person immerses in a mikvah the size of 1 amah by 1 amah, the length and the width of 1 amah by 1 amah, and the height, that is 3 amahs. And when a person immerses in that, they will actually immerse his entire body up to his neck is 3 amah, and when he immerses in it, he displaces the water, and therefore the water will be able to go and put his entire body into it at one time. Now, if this mikvah we're saying is 3 amah tall, and it's on top of a tower, a gateway, that is 20 amah tall, it's top on top of the Shar Mayim, so it's 20 plus 3, it has to be a height of 23, and since water has to flow down, the source of the water for this mikvah must be a little bit more than 23 amah tall. So the Shiru Chachamim may mikvah arbim so. This is the amount of water that's needed for kosher mikvah. This 1 by 1 by 3, and therefore, Abaye says we can therefore derive from here how high Ein Eitam was. If the mikvah is 23 amah, it must be a little bit higher than 23 amah for the water to flow there. So this is Abaye's explanation why what we learn from this price. But the more questions it says, we turn to Lamed Aleph on the base. Va'ika amah tikra. Wait a second. The top of the gate has a ceiling on it, or the floor of the mikvah. So there's space that takes up. V'ama maziva, and you need to have the bottom of the mikvah too. So between the top of the gate and the bottom of the mikvah, there must be additional height, if you wish, from the surface floor. So it should be 23 plus the height of the tikra and the height of the maziva. So how can you tell me it's only 23 ama above the ground? It's actually a little bit more than that. So the Gemara says, no, Sha'arim, the Beis HaMikdash, the gateways of the Beis HaMikdash were made out of marble. Kibun d'sheisha ninu, and since marble is a very strong thing, you don't need a very strong tikra, because it's very strong, and you don't need a very thick tikra. B'mash avilhu, and therefore, even a very small amount would be fine to have the top of the gateway. Where it says, okay, va'ika haich mashu, so at least count this mashu. So it should be 23.1. So Gemara says, yeah, kibun lo avoy amsa, since it's not a full amma, since we don't count little small fractions, so it's right, it's 23.1, and ain't eight them, therefore must be 23.2. So therefore, we discard those small numbers, and we just use the whole numbers, and that's why Abaye said it's 23 amma. Finally, at the end of the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, we said, parsu sodin shabutsu chule, that they spread out a linen type of a sheet or a towel, so that the people wouldn't see the Kohen Gadol coming in and out of the mikveh when he's unclothed for tznius purposes. So Gemara says, why bedafka did they use a linen type of a sheet? Maishnah shabutz. Why did they take this sodin shabutz, this sheet of butz? So Gemara says, Kedam Rav Kana. Rav Kana taught us that already. Kadesh Yakir Shavodas Hayom Vividei Butz. Where Rav Kana learned this din, he taught us that we want to have this. We'll see this din later on in the Mishnayis. And Daf Lamed Hey, so we answered that question over there and said that we B'davka want to use linen to remind us that there's going to be, normally the Kohen Gadol wears 8 big day Zahav, and now today he's going to wear 4 garments at times, big day boots. So therefore, it's to remind us that he's going to be wearing the big day boots. So just like Rav Kahana gave that teretz over here, we say the same thing over here. Hochanami over here too. Shiakir Shavuot say, yo, big day boots. This is to remind the Kohen Gadol that he's going to be wearing the Dalit Begadim Mabutz at times during the day. And Mitzvah Shem, in this next Mishnah, we're going to discuss now the coins changing back and forth from the different garments. And we'll be in the next Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, Pashat Yared V'Tovah. The Kohen Gadol had to take off his clothing, Pashat Yared, he then went down to the mikvah, and Tovah, and then he was Tovah in the mikvah. Allah, he would get out of the mikvah, but he's stopping, and he dried himself off, and Heviulo Big Day Zoh V'Lovash. Then he puts on his golden garments, the 8 normal big day kahuna that he would wear, and he would start doing the avoda after he did the kiddush yod v'raglav. This Mishnah tells us that there was only one time that he was mekadesh yod v'raglav over here now. Heviulo etzat tamid, then they brought him the carbon tamid. The carbon tamid is the first avoda of the day, and all the avodas of the day had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. So he would be mekadesh yod v'raglav, and they brought him the carbon tamid, heviulo etzat tamid, and kiratzo. This we learned previously in the Masechta, that meant that he did the Shlita. Karatzo means an incomplete Shlita, but a kosher Shlita. Normally, when we do the Shlita, we normally shift, in order for it to be halachically acceptable, at least rove, a little bit more than half, of the kana and the vosha, the trachea and the esophagus, the food pipe and the windpipe. The vosha is the esophagus or the food pipe, and the trachea is the kana or the windpipe. So you have to cut at least 50.1% in order to be kosher shlita, both of these pipes. In fact, they usually cut all of them through and through. So kartso means that the Kohen Gadol will have to do the entire halachically required shlita, because otherwise he wouldn't have been doing the avoda. But he doesn't have to do the parts that aren't halachically required. That can be done by somebody else. And in fact, somebody else did that for him. Umeirik acher shlita ayoda. And another Kohen finished off doing the shlita. And this way, the Kohen Gadol could do the Kabbalah, because the Kabbalah also had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, Kibbal as Adam, he then took the blood in the Kli Shares. He did the Holacha if it was necessary. The Gemara doesn't mention the Holacha, because, as I pointed out previously, Holacha is not an essential avoda. If you're right by the Beis HaMikdash's Mizbeach, so you don't even have to do Holacha, you can just do the applications on the Mizbeach from where you are. So there's no din of Holacha that's Ma'akev. But normally, after you do the Kabbalah Saddam, it wasn't right by the Mizbeach. You do Holacha towards the Mizbeach and Uzrako, and then you would go and do the applications of the Karban Tumid, which was Shtayim Shein Arba, according to the simple understanding, two in the two respective corners, the northeast corner and the southwest corner. Each of those sides had the Yesod, and you put an application there that went north and east, and it went south and west, and this way you did the Avoda for the Karban Tumid. Then, after he did all the avodah of the korban tamid, nichnas lahakdir k'toris shel shachar. Then he had to go inside the Beis HaMikdash to the Heichal, and he would bring the k'toris shel shachar. Now, he was still in his big day zav at this point. He's not going lufnai v'lufnim, he's just going inside the Heichal. And he does the putting up of the k'toris. We discussed this early in the Masechta, exactly where in the Seder Hayom this was. And he also went lehetiv es haneros. He also went to go and clean out, do the Hatapas and Eros on the candles in the menorah. Now, we remember from early in the Masechta, we said that he did this in two jobs. He first did the five Neros, and then he did the two Neros. And we had a machlokas where exactly in the Seder Hayom was this. But this is talking about the last two Neros. The Hatavas and Eros are the last two. Everybody agrees that the first five Hatavas and Eros were earlier. Now the Tosos Yishonim points out, as an aside, that technically the Kohen Gadol didn't have to do the Shechita, because that's not technically an Avoda. But Midrabanan, the custom was that the Kohen Gadol would do the Shechita. After this Avoda was done, the Tores and the Hatavas and Eros, so then he would come back to the Azara, and there he would come Ulahakri Vesarosh Veso Evorim Vahavitin Veso Yain. He would then finish off the Avoda of the bringing of the carbon tumet, actually its component parts, up onto the Mizbeach, which is the Rosh Veso Evorim, the head and all of the Evorim. Why does he list just the head and the other Evorim all together? Because the Tosus Yishanim over here on Adat and also well, the Tosus Arash, both say because it says V'nitach Oso Lin Sochav, so you might have thought that that doesn't include the head, which wasn't flayed. So therefore, it's telling us the Rosh and the Evarim that were flayed. And as well, the Chavitin V'Esoyayin. And he also, the Kohen Gadol, has to bring the Chavitin, which are the special Asiris or Eifor that was divided up, Machatzisa Baboke, Machatzisa whatever, which we also discussed already quite a bit in the Masechta. And this was brought up by a Kohen every day. It was the Kohen Gadol's money that paid for this, but Lav Davka, that the Kohen Gadol had to bring this every day. A regular Kohen could do this, but on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had to do this. So this is the Chavitin, the Esoyayin, and the wine libations that went with the Korban Tamid. And all of the Mefarshim asked, well, what about the Korban Mincha? That also was part of the libations that went with the Korban Tamid. So the simplest answer is that's included in the Chavitin. And this answer is given by both the Tosfos Harash and the Tosfos Yishonim. Second teretz is that when it says es hayayin, that includes the soles. That's part of the libations, and that is the nesachim, and it was the wine and the flour offerings, and that's called yayin because the yayin is the more important of the two. And that's from the Siach Yitzchak. And then the third teretz is from the Rashash, and he says that hakrovas hasoles lo nikres avodas hayom. The bringing of the soles is not technically part of the avodas hayom. The Eino Tzrich Eliyosos Dafk Aide Kohen Gadol. It didn't have to be done by the Kohen Gadol, and therefore V'lchein Lo Hiskira Tana. That's why the Tana of our Mishnah didn't technically mention that the Kohen Gadol has to bring the Mincha libation. That technically could be brought by another Kohen. Okay, those are three terutzim for why it doesn't mention the Minchas Nesochim. Now, we just talked about the Ketores, so the Mishnah is going to point out slight differences in the order of the Ketores that was brought in the morning with the Korban Tamid Shel Shacharis and the Ketores that was brought in the afternoon with the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. So the Mishnah says, Ketores Shel Shachar, when they brought the Ketores in the morning, the location of it in terms of the activities of the day was Hoyser Kreva Bein Dam Aliyevorim. It was located in between the Zrika of the Dam, the Shtayim Shein Arba applications of the Korban Tamid, and you then went and did the Haktoris Haktoris, and then you came back out and you brought the Evarim up onto the Mizbeach. Shel Bein Arbayim, however, in the afternoon, when they brought the Korban Tamid and the Haktoris in the afternoon, so the Haktoris in the afternoon was brought Bein Evarim L'Nisachim. That was, they did it in between the bringing up of the limbs, that was done before the Haktoris in the afternoon, and then they did the Haktoris, and then they did the Nisachim, the libations, the wine and flour libations. Finally, the Mishnah concludes with what the Kohen Gadol, when he went to the mikveh, if he was an older Kohen Gadol, or a sicker Kohen Gadol, or a fussy Kohen Gadol, how did he go to the mikveh? It was cold in Yerushalayim around Yom Kippur time, and therefore, they could heat it up. How did they do this? So, imaya Kohen Gadol zakein, if it was an older Kohen Gadol, he would be relatively intolerant to the cold water, a wistiness, or just a fussy person. So what they would do was mechamin lo chamin. They would heat up water before Yom Kippur. You can't heat up water on Yom Kippur. So they heated up water before Yom Kippur. Umatilin l'sol chatzonein. And they put it into the cold mikvah. That would take the chill out of the mikvah. And then, kadesh tofik tzinosim, to take the chill out of the mikvah. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol, even if he was older or fussy, so then he would be able to go to the mikvah easily. Isness, Rashi tells us elsewhere in Brachos, is Odom Me'unag U'Mefunak. It means a fussy person, a person who's very delicate, a person who is not capable of easily doing certain things because of his delicate nature. So if the water was too cold, and he's an istinus, so they heated it up for him. That was permissible if they heated it up before Yom Kippur. Gemara starts off and says, Amruah Rabbanan Kameh Rapapa. The number of the Talmidim said in front of the Rapapa the following statement. Hard to look, Rabbi Meir. They wanted to suggest that our Mishnah is not in accord with the opinion of Meir. Our Mishnah said there was only one Kiddush Adayim Raglayim after the first immersion in the mikvah, and they wanted to suggest that that's like, not like the opinion of Meir, because Rabbi Meir would say, the Rav Meir, Kivan Domar Trey Kiddushe Alavisha Ovid Luhu, because we're going to learn now the Smachlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim as to what was the purpose of the Shtei Kiddush Adayim Raglayim that they had to do associated with each Tvila. So Rav Meir's opinion was that the two times that they did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim was on the putting on of the new clothing, Alavisha Ovid Luhu, and since he's putting on the Big Day Kahuna, he should have to do two Tvilos of Yodayim and Raglayim. So therefore, Hochanami Liovit Trey Kiddusha Alavisha, since this is just like every other Levisha, so it required two Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim. And our Mishnah said there's only one, so ergo the Talmidim said to Rav Papa, it must be that our Mishnah is not in accord with Rav Meir. Rav Papa disagrees. Amalu Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, not necessarily so. Our Mishnah could go not only like the Chachamim, but our Mishnah could even go like Rav Meir. Bein L'Rabbanan, Bein L'Rabmeir. Our Mishnah only has one immersion of the Yadayim V'Raglayim, one Tevila of the Yadayim V'Raglayim. Chad Apshito de Big Day Kodesh, V'Chad Alavisha. Because Rav Meir and the Chachamim are not arguing whether there's two Kiddush Yadayim and Raglayim by the Levisha, like you're suggesting, Talmidim. But in fact, that machlokis, the Rav Meir and the Chacham have, is a different machlokis, which we don't mention right now what that might be. But he says they both agree that one Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is by the taking off of the Big Day Kodesh, and one is by the putting on of the Big Day Kodesh. And here he's taking off his Big Day Chol and going to the mikvah. So therefore, both Rav Meir and the Chachamim would say that there's only one Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim over here, and therefore Rav Papa told the Talmidim, you're wrong. So then what are Rav Meir and the Chacham arguing about? So he says, this is what they're arguing about. The Pasuk says, Ufashat, I'll read you the whole Pasuk. It says, Ufashat, it's big day, Habad, Asher Lovash, Bivo, El HaKodesh, Vinicham Sham. That's the first Pasuk, and it says the word Ufashat, and then it continues in the next Pasuk, Virachat, says, Besar B'mayim, B'makom Kadosh. And then it says the next word, V'lovash es begodim, he puts on his clothing. So here we have the words, Upashat, V'rochatz, V'lovash. The extra word, V'rochatz, in parentheses, should be deleted. So therefore, we darshan this as follows. This is the machlokas, Rav Papa says, between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir Savar, when it says, you have Upashat, V'rochatz, Mekish, Peshito, L'levisha. Because it also then says the Levisha. So therefore, we make a connection between the two of them. We make a hekesh between both the Pashat and the Levisha, the Peshita and the Levisha. What's the hekesh? Mekesh, Peshita, Levisha. So Ma Levisha, Lovesh, the Achakach Mekadesh. Just like by Levisha, you first put it on, and then you do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So too, by the Peshita, a Peshita, first you posh it, you take it off. The Achakach Mekadesh, and then you go do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. In both of them, the action, either the Peshita or the Levisha, comes first, and then you do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. As opposed to the Rabbanan Savri, no. Mekish Peshita Levisha the following way. They connect the two in the following way. Ma Levisha Kishu Lovush Mekadesh. When you're clothed, that's when you do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So too, Ach Peshita, before you take off your clothing, Kishu Lovush, while you're clothed, then you do Mekadesh Yadayim Raglayim. So that's what Rav Papa says is the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. But in our case, where there is only a Levisha, the Peshita was Big Day Chol. So here you only have Levisha. So he says even Rav Meir would agree that there's only one Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So our Mishnah could be either Rav Meir or the Chachamim. That's what Rav Papa told the Talmidim. But in turn, the Talmidim responded and said the following. Is what the Rebbe is saying really correct? How could the Rebbe say what you're saying? Because, well, Tanya, we have Beferish in another Brisa, where it says, Parsu Sodin Shabutz Beino Levin Ka'am, that they put up the linen sheet in between the Kohen Gadol and the people, so they shouldn't see him undressed, they should be at sneers type of activity. And the Brisa continues and says,
Poshat, he took off his clothing, the Yorad went down to the mikveh v'tabal, and then Olo, he gets out of the mikveh and he stopped begging, he dries himself off, and then he v'ilo big days off, v'lo vash, the key day shodah v'raglav. Only after he puts on the big days off, does he go and do kiddush adayim raglayim. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. That's the Chachamim. And Rav Meir disagrees, beferish, like we said the Talmidim Torah Papa, not like you. Rav Meir says as follows, Poshat, he took off his big day chol, and he went to go do kiddush adayim raglayim. The yarad v'tavel. Then he went to the mikvah, and then all of it is stopping. He dried himself off. He came out of the mikvah, dried himself off. The vilo big day zov. Then he puts on the big day kahuna, the eight garments, the big day zov. The kiddush adayim raglayim the second time. So he has to go do kiddush adayim raglayim a second time. So therefore, this brisa clearly supports what we said in that the Mishnah cannot be in accord with Rav Meir. And this brisa proves us right. What are you going to say about this, Rav Papa? So Rav Papa responds, Abalu, he says to the Talmidim, I wasn't aware of this brisa. As I mentioned many times, that Maroim did not necessarily know all the brisos, and therefore the Talmidim introduced this brisa to Rav Papa, and he said, Nu, itanya, tanya. If this is the brisa, then I retract my opinion. What I said was very logical. What I said makes very good sense. However, if you have a beferish brisa that says, not like me, so then I retract my opinion and defer to the brisa. That it worse says, Bishlom Rameyer, Rameyer's opinion actually makes very good sense in the following situation. That's when we find and we turn to Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Asara Kiddushin. We know that you're supposed to do 10 times. So Rameyer has 2 by the first tefillah in the mikvah, 2 by the second, 2 by the third, 2 by the fourth, and 2 by the fifth. 10. Elul Rabbanan. If the Rabbanan say you only do 1 the first time, so then Tisha Havu, they're only going to come up to a total of 9. They say 2 by the second, 2 by the third, 2 by the fourth, 2 by the fifth. So how come you have 10? You only have 9. 1 by the first, and then the 8 by the second, third, fourth, and fifth immersions. So Mari says, no, Amri Luch Rabbanan. The Rabbanan would say, no, we also have 10. Because Kiddusha Basra, the last time, when the Kohen Gadol, Kiparsh, Big Day Kodesh, Belavush Big Day Chol, he then has to put on his Big Day Chol. He doesn't walk out of the base of Mikdash naked. So he has to put on his Big Day Chol. Ovid Lehosom. That's when he does the 10th Kiddush Yodayim Viraglayim. Now we'll continue discussing this more in Yitzhak tomorrow, but with this we conclude today's share.